The book of Acts records a large ministry, the Apostle Paul. It talks about four different journeys that he took, missionary journeys around the Roman Empire. And from 13 to 28, that's a lot of passages for one man. That's what he did, and it's the whole thing. It's a record of what Paul did. But Acts 28 closes with Paul in prison. And now we know that Paul wrote four epistles from prison. And you know them as the four prison epistles: Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians. And I put Philippians last because it was the last one written, as we saw last week. Now, we jokingly said that I wrote Acts 29. I did not. I recorded it as I found it in Scripture. And then today I'm still jokingly saying, and I got a little convicted about that. Somebody might say, oh, he said today, Acts 30. Jokingly. And you see the map and so forth. I've already talked to you about that. Now, in Acts, my version of what Paul continued to do, is really another journey, another missionary journey, going back mostly to where he had been. So we see, first of all, Paul's release from prison. If you aren't careful, you get the idea that Paul went into prison and from there he was beheaded. No, he got out. He moved out. Now, the evidence is given to us. We're not told directly that Paul got released, but there's good evidence that he was. Now, the unanimous tradition of the early church is that he was released. And I say tradition, well, it's different writers, early writers, who said he was released. And so that's okay if it's backed up by the facts. Because some of those old writers, for one reason or another, wrote plain old heresy. We have to watch what they did. Not in Scripture, of course, but in their writings, they may have been mistaken or whatever. So we have to take that evidence, that extra-biblical evidence, and say, now, is that true? Is it backed up by facts? We find whatever facts we can, and we have to make sure that it's not opposed to Scripture, because if it's truth, it's lining up with Scripture. So it is the tradition of the local church, of the early church, that Paul was released from prison and then reincarcerated. He says, for instance, that he left Titus in Crete. It's Titus 1:5. I left you in Crete. Well, we don't know that Paul ever went to Crete. There's nothing in Acts that says Paul went to Crete before he went to prison. So for that reason, he says this way: for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I command you. And yet there's no record he ever went there before. So he must have gone there afterward. Now, so we have the unanimous treatment, tradition of the church, and that he said about Titus, leaving Titus in Crete. And he asked Titus to come and meet him at Nicopolis. Paul says, Titus, come and meet me. Here's what he says it. When I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Oh, Paul. Paul's in prison. How can he go spend the winter in Nicopolis with a Roman soldier chained to his wrist? Don't think so. He must have been released. See what I'm saying? I'm saying there are certain hints, and that's one of them. So we have the tradition, we have the Titus in Crete, we have Titus coming to Nicopolis. Also, there's a changed outlook in the last prison epistle, which I believe to be Philippians, and his last epistle altogether, 2 Timothy. Let me read something out of Philippians, and then we'll compare that or contrast that to 2 Timothy. Here's what he says in Philippians. He's optimistic. He says, I am hard pressed between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, or to remain with you. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And I'm being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. That's really optimistic, isn't it? I know I'm going to stay here and I'm going to stay work with you. Well, in 2 Timothy 4:6, he says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. I'm going to die, for the time of my departure is at hand. So Paul used that figure of speech back in Philippians. In chapter 2, verse 17, he says, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on a sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. So he's just saying, in Philippians, he's saying, if I am poured out as part of your sacrificial living and so forth, then I'm happy. And now he's saying, I'm about to be poured out. I'm about to die, is what he's saying. So there's evidence of Paul's release. Now, the conclusion from that evidence is one thing, what you do with it is something else. And so now I'm going to say, here's what I believe from the evidence I've found in Scripture. First of all, Paul was in prison in Rome when he wrote Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, Philippians. And I believe that he was released and free to move about when he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus. The charges were automatically dropped after 2 years. Remember, they charged him in lower courts, and then they finally said he's going to go to Caesar. And he was a Roman citizen. He had the right to appeal to Caesar. I'm not going to listen to you guys. I'm going to take my case to Caesar. So they said, okay, to Caesar you will go. And they sent him to Rome. Now, Roman law says that if you can put somebody in prison, charge him, just say, he's against Caesar. That's all you have to say. So they put him in prison. And then leave him there. He has to stay there for 2 years. And within 2 years, you have to bring the charges before Caesar. And we saw that last week, that he didn't do that. There's nothing there. So if no charges are filed, then he gets released at the end of 2 years. That's what I think happened here. Now, it seems to me that the greater part of Acts, being about Paul from 13 to 28, I think maybe Luke all that time was taking notes and writing things out, saying, if Paul is called up before Caesar, I have something to place in his defense. Sometime read that section from Acts 13 through Acts 28, all the way over, and say, wow, Caesar would never have convicted this guy. He was not against Caesar at all. Well, that's just a little thought that I have. I think inspired by somebody else, maybe. But we know that we feel he was released. And thirdly, that he was back in prison under different circumstances when he wrote 2 Timothy. So, Paul's released from prison. Now, what did he do during that time? Well, you know something about Paul. You know that Paul wasn't just sitting there. We read about all those missionary journeys. He's preaching, he's doing this and doing that. And then he gets in prison. What's he going to do in prison? He keeps writing. People come to him. He tells them about the gospel. A guard comes in and he talks about that. And all he's doing is serving the Lord wherever the Lord leads him. You don't have to be on a bed of luxury in order to say, oh, now I'm going to serve Jesus. No, serve Jesus wherever you are. No. So here he is on his fifth missionary journey. And now we have the map, and we have, you'll watch the screen. Don't watch me. Watch that screen. And hear what I have to say. Hear what the word says. All right. So he went, first of all, to Macedonia, I believe, to Thessalonica, and to Berea. Now, he went there apparently to renew old acquaintances. There also was Philippi, and he went there especially because he said in Philippians 2:24, I trust in the Lord that I myself shall come to you shortly. He was expecting to go, being led of the Holy Spirit, no doubt. And so he went there to Macedonia and to all those three places. And then he went to Asia Minor. Ephesus was in Asia Minor. Ephesus was his former center of activities, Acts 18, 19. There was a riot, remember, riot of silversmiths, and they Paul had to leave. The place was really in clamor, and he left to protect the church that he had established there. So then he went to Colossae, the home of Philemon and Onesimus. Remember them, Onesimus was a slave of Philemon. And he was, he ran away and stole some things, apparently. Enough money to get him to Rome. And he went to Rome, and one of Paul's disciples saw him and maybe witnessed to him. They were out there witnessing all over. And so he witnessed to him and brought him back to Paul. And Paul told him about the Lord, and Paul led him to the Lord. He became Paul's son, his spiritual son. So that's where they were. And he had, when he wrote Philemon, remember he's in prison when he wrote Philemon. And here, I want to read an extended passage there because it's really clever, I think. Starting with verse 12. He says, I am sending him, that is Onesimus, to you, Philemon. Therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my change in the gospel. In other words, I'd like to keep him here, but I'm not going to do that. I won't do that, verse 14 says, without your consent. I wanted to do nothing that your deed, if you did it, if you allowed him to come here, that that might not be by force, by compulsion, as it were, but voluntarily. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that that you might receive him back forever. Remember, he's saying, now, Philemon, I'm sending your slave back to you. But he's not coming back now as a slave. He's coming back as a brother, a beloved brother, especially to me, but much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And if you consider me a partner, receive him as you would me. Ah, you think Philemon loved Paul? You think Philemon owed Paul something? You receive him just like you would me, is what he's saying. But if he's wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. You owe me some things, remember? Then he says, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay. Whatever he stole from you, I'll pay you back. And then little parenthesis. I'm not going to mention to you how much you owe me. Even your life you owe me. Yes, my brother. Let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord in that you do these things. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Isn't that, you get a little jabs here and there about that. Now I'm sending him back to you, but you know, treat him like you would me, that kind of thing. Now, he addresses Philemon carefully. In Philemon 22, he says, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also, I love this one, also prepare me a guest room because I'm going to come and see you. I know you're going to do it, but I'm going to come see you just in case. I love that. That's where he's going. So then to Onesimus, he said he wanted to see to make sure that Onesimus was being treated fairly. Now, then he went to Laodicea, Colossians 4:16. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the churches of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So, we don't know anything about Laodicea except what John tells us in the book of Revelation in chapter 3. That they were a bad church. The church was all messed up. But all I know is that he's saying he visited them as well. So now, then went to Spain. Now, I put Spain in here. It probably went by sea. You see that little, it's not very far away. It's far away from west of Italy. And I say that probably because Clement of Rome, early church writer, wrote that Paul had gone to the extremity of the West, Well, I don't think that Italy was, Rome was the extremity. He went farther west than that. If he did, then there's no record of what he did. But in any case, I know he wanted to go there. Romans 15:28, he says, Romans 28 was written about the time of his third missionary journey, when he went around the churches and he was taking an offering, not for himself, offering for the church in Jerusalem. He was planning on going back there, and he said he was getting an offering together from everywhere he went, and was going to take that offering back to Jerusalem church because they were in bad shape financially because of a famine. Well, he says, therefore, when I have performed this, when I've gone back and taken that money and have sealed them to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. So he had it in his plans to go there. Then Paul is on his way to Jerusalem to take this Gentile offering. Then he'll go back, and he planned to go through Rome and then to Spain. Now, of course, he didn't know how long he was going to be in Rome. But play now, I'm going to go to Rome. You went to Rome, all right, and you stayed there 2 years. But he planned to go, and may have. And some writers suggest that he went to France, possible. And some say he went to England. I don't think that's very likely. But anyway, that's where he was going. Then he went to Ephesus. He didn't remain there long. He left Timothy there as pastor. In fact, there are several churches. Most of these places had several churches. And Timothy was head pastor, I guess, for all of them. Then he was called away to Macedonia. And then he wrote in 1 Timothy, he wrote 1 Timothy to Timothy at Ephesus. And then he'd tell him how to run the church. And that's what Timothy's about, how to run the church. And then he took Titus and went to Crete. And then at Crete, the churches had been established earlier, we said, not by Paul, but somebody. And at least there was no indication of such in Acts. So Paul probably wasn't Paul. But there were churches there. He left Titus there in Crete to ordain elders and set things in order, the things that are lacking. And here's where he says it in Titus 1:5. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city, as I command you. So then Paul went to the mainland, perhaps to Ephesus again, to visit Timothy. And he wrote the epistle to Titus from there. And then he took Trophimus with him. Remember Trophimus? He was an Ephesian, Acts 21:29. And 2 Timothy 4:20, Paul writes, Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. So that's just a little note that we have about this trip. And then he went to Miletus. Trophimus became ill, and he stayed there in Miletus. And then Paul went to Corinth. In Corinth, he visited the church. Erastus stayed at Corinth, his home, where his home was. And he may have been expecting Erastus to accompany him to Nicopolis, and he wasn't able to. So when he went to Nicopolis. Paul planned a winter there. He says, I'm going to Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Now, then he asked Titus to come to him. It says in Titus 3:12, when I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me. So apparently he's saying, here I am writing to Titus from Ephesus, and I'm asking him, I'm going to send two guys over there, one of the two, or maybe both, to Titus, and then he would relieve Titus of his duties, and Titus would come then and meet him at Nicopolis. So do your diligence to come to me, he says. And then Paul apparently planned to send either of those two and let him be relieved to come to him. So he went there, apparently to Decapolis, and he was probably rearrested there in either January or early February AD 65-66, taking the later dates of it. So then he went to Rome. Paul wrote 2 Timothy from Rome, back in prison, and according to tradition, he was beheaded then. Verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4 says this, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have finished the course. I fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." So the next thing that Paul saw was the face of Jesus with a crown of righteousness in his hand. Isn't that a good picture? Yeah. He says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And when he died, off goes his head. Instantly he's with the Lord. And with the Lord, going to give him that crown of righteousness, put it on his head. Now, question. I know this is a lot to pack in here, but when you think about going to heaven, I hope you are. I hope you're thinking about that. I hope you know that. When you get there, what do you want to see? What do you want to see? I have a lot of siblings. My younger sister and younger brother, they're all dead now. But when they died, my sister first, they say she sat up in bed and went like this. Isn't that something? Somebody, she was meeting somebody. I don't know who. I like to think maybe Mom, because Mom was a fine lady. Loved the Lord. And then my son, my brother, younger brother, he was not in good shape. But his sons said, he raised up in bed, put his arms out like that. Wow. Who do you want to be the one you hold your arms out to?